From SiriusEats.com, this is Special Sauce with Ed Levine.
Welcome to Special Sauce, Sirius Eats podcast. Every week, we'll find out just what the special sauce is of some of the leading lights of our cultural fabric, both food folks and non-food folks alike. Today, we're going to talk to sitcom creator.
The Russians invited me to Russia to help them turn Everybody Loves Raymond into Everybody Loves Kostya. Okay?
Serious fresser.
But now I own a restaurant. Now that I'm like, listen, do you understand this is my hobby? If I wanted to be yelled at, I'd talk to the actors.
And the host of the new PBS food series, I'll Have What Phil's Having, Phil Rosenthal. Welcome to Special Sauce, Phil.
I love this intro. I love that you're pretending that we don't know each other for many years. I love that I'm sitting across from you as the only difference is there's no food on this table.
I know.
Every time
weird.
I come to New York, I call Ed Levine because he's one of my favorite people. And we have bonded over the years over food and laughs.
And I think we both think the same things are important. You know, it's food and community and generosity of spirit. I hope that pervades both of our lives.
Listen, I've boiled it down. That's what the series really is about. My years on Earth I've boiled down to this, these things that I find important. Food, travel, laughs, family, friends.
Right.
That's it.
It's it. Speaking of family, I don't want to offend your mother.
Okay.
Okay,
I've done it. You can't possibly hurt her any more than I've hurt her.
Okay, that's good. She wasn't apparently a very good cook.
Listen, she's one of the best people on earth. She is really wonderful, smart. There's nobody I know that's smarter than her. There's nobody who's more giving, loving. Truly, I owe her, I think, everything. Cooking, not the strong suit. We can't be all great at everything. Okay? And I wasn't the first to say this. My father's favorite joke was, when we first got married, our kitchen was where the cockroaches came to commit suicide.
That's awesome.
She once made matzo lasagna for Passover. Okay?
So awesome. It's I don't even know where to start.
It's like a cardboard Napoleon. Instead of sheets of pasta, sheets of matzo. Even the cat took a bite of it. Walked out in front of a car. Okay? Just a horrible concoction that she must have gotten out of an anti-Semitic cookbook somewhere. We didn't have a lot of money growing up, but I'm first-generation American. Did you know that? They both came from Germany. They were in the war.
Wow.
You know, if I'm born 15 years earlier, I'm in a camp like my mother.
Wow.
So we don't, you know, I make fun of her cooking, but I have the utmost respect and love for my mother.
Yeah, of course.
This is, why can't we? We all make fun of each other. And this is the thing I make fun of her about. And you know what? Without that, I wouldn't maybe have the appreciation I have now.
The name of your autobiography is It's a Good Thing.
You're Lucky You're Funny.
You're Lucky You're Funny.
How Life Becomes a Sitcom.
Right. So you move out to Hollywood thinking you're going to be an actor.
Right, because I didn't know. When you're a kid growing up, you don't know that there's writing, directing, producing. I would watch The Honeymooners and say, I want to do that.
Right. So you move out to Hollywood.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, oh, you weren't at Schwab drugstores being discovered like 2 months after you got there.
No. An agent saw me in a show here and said, you come to Hollywood, you will never stop working as an actor. Really said that to me. When you're impressionable in your 20s,
you
pack a bag and you move to Hollywood. And I never started working as an actor.
Never.
No. But the show that we did was something that we wrote without thinking about it so that we'd have something to be in. We weren't thinking we're writers. We got to get in something. Maybe we should write something for ourselves. So I hadn't written anything yet.
Really?
Still an actor in New York, right? As if we're going back that far to the 80s.
Right.
We write a show for ourselves to be in. That becomes somewhat successful. That's where the agent says, come to Hollywood.
Ah.
Okay.
That was a theatrical production.
Absolutely. And then at the same time, a friend of mine who was a writer came to me with a word processor, a blue and gray metal box, and says, let's write a screenplay together. And we write a screenplay together and we sell it. I had no idea what I was doing. It was like it was like you play golf, you know, the first time you have a good game.
Right. You think, oh, this isn't so hard.
Then you're stuck in that friggin' game for the rest of your life.
Right. Yes.
That's my story.
Wow.
So we sold this for $70,000, the screenplay.
Which seemed like a zillion.
Are you kidding? I had $150 in the bank.
Right.
And I was eating tuna fish for dinner every night. And now I could eat whatever I want as a writer. You get it? So now, here I go. And so when I went to Hollywood and I wasn't getting any acting work at all, well, the writing thing seemed to pay off. Let's do that. And so, yes, I got odd jobs writing and then shows you never heard of and then a show you did hear of, Coach. And then my third year on Coach, I got a tape of a comedian who had been on Letterman one time. And from that 1 5-minute appearance, David Letterman said there should be a show for that guy. Let's set about looking for a writer to create a show for that guy.
And that was Ray Romano.
His name was Ray Romano.
And you didn't know him?
No, even though he was born in Queens too.
If you look at the show,
yes.
I think of you and your family so much.
You have to.
You know,
because we're in there. Physically, it's his family.
Right.
Brother, older brother, jealous of him, lives with twin boys, older daughter.
Right.
The mother's always there. When he told me that, I said, well, it doesn't seem like there's anything there we could use. And then I realized, well, wait, that could be a show.
Right.
It's as good a premise as any. And what I didn't know about his family, I filled in with the personalities for my family.
Right.
So when you say that your parents have always been a part of your work, very much so.
Sure.
Very much so.
Everybody Loves Raymond was not a linear, completely bump-free experience developing it.
I'll tell you the best piece of advice I ever got, though, which I used to navigate these waters, came from a great sitcom genius named Ed Weinberger. And he said, do the show you want to do, because in the end, they're going to cancel you anyway.
I know. I by the way, I steal that. I do give Ed Weinberger credit.
Good.
And you.
Good.
Because ever since you told me that line, it's like...
It's a way of life.
It applies to everything we do. You and I have talked about that vis-a-vis Serious Eats.
Yes.
Vis-a-vis I'll Have What Phil's Having.
You got it.
It doesn't matter.
Listen, I tell people, we all get canceled one day.
It's true.
So do the show you want to do.
So obviously the show becomes an iconic sitcom of its time.
Not setting out to do that, but...
No, of course, you never do.
Very lucky.
But, yeah, yes. And so...
All the planets have to line up for one of these things to even get on the air. So any success beyond that, they say it's like you hit the jackpot. No, it's not. It's like hitting the jackpot over and over and over again.
Right. So it's been made in a zillion countries.
Yeah.
It's still being made in some countries. So all of a sudden, it's like you've gone from being a reasonably successful television writer to, holy mackerel, this is like this piggy bank just keeps on dispensing quarters and more. And it's like...
I hope you mean that not just in the literal way.
No.
Right?
Because
in every other way it has.
Yes.
You know, we get a letter from Sri Lanka.
Right.
That's my mother. You know? What better feeling on earth is that?
That's awesome.
What better feeling? You know, I made that documentary, Exporting Raymond, where the Russians invited me to Russia to help them turn Everybody Loves Raymond into Everybody Loves Kostya.
Right.
And that documentary, by the way, is streaming right now on Netflix for the first time.
Oh, it's so good.
So you could see it on Netflix right now.
Everyone should see it. It's awesome.
That led directly to me having this show now, I'll Have What Phil's Having, because PBS saw that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So you started to get involved in food how?
I loved it so much. My wife came home one day, said that there was a lady who stopped her in the parking lot at school who was a chef. I said, really? I'm already interested. What's going on? She's opening a restaurant in L.A. called Jar, and she is wanting to know if we want to invest in the restaurant. I'm like, if I taste the food, maybe. I never invested in a restaurant before, but shouldn't you taste the food before you invest? Shouldn't you try out any product before you put money into it? So that's all. So I tried it, and I'm going, well, she's a genius, right? Suzanne Tracht.
Restaurant's still going?
Well, I say yes. Of course, I'm investing. So I invest with like 20 other investors. Not a big deal. And then a year in, and it's my favorite place in L.A. I mean, you've been there.
Yeah.
The best pot roast on earth. Have you ever had better?
No. It is the best pot roast.
It's a classic, like, American chop house where you can get steaks of all cuts, and it's not crazy expensive. It's just you feel like you go in there and it's like Mad Men.
Yeah.
In there, right? It just feels good. A year in, I get a call that it's going out of business. What do you mean it's going out? It's packed every year. Somebody's buying the building, and they're going to they don't want a restaurant in there. I'm like, well, what's going to happen to the restaurant? They can't afford the rent in this building because it's going to be. Well, isn't there anything we can do? I say to my business manager. He says, well, you could buy it. So I did.
You had the ability to do that.
Just to save it. Just to save it. But now I own a restaurant, okay? And what I don't realize, stupidly, is that comes with some headaches. And I didn't want those headaches. Like people calling and yelling at me. I'm like, listen, do you understand this is my hobby? If I wanted to be yelled at, I'd talk to the actors. So after a year of that, I say, you know what? I love everybody, love everything. I realized I'm not cut out to be an owner of a restaurant. So I sell the restaurant to the chef who's doing well enough to buy the restaurant now. And it's good for her.
Right.
Wonderful. I now take that money. And I start, like Johnny Appleseed, going through and investing so that I have all the joy of investing with none of the headaches.
And you can get a table.
By the way, there's times when I can't. And when I can't, like on a Saturday, I invested in this place, Redbird, downtown. Did we go there yet?
No.
You're going to come. It's great.
All right.
Neil Frazier.
All right.
Saturday at 5 o'clock, I call. Can I get in tonight? No. What do you mean? I'm an investor in the restaurant. We're very sorry. It's completely packed. We even have a waiting list. I'm like, you know what? Good. I'll go to one of my other places tonight or try a new place.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm not an idiot. If I'm an investor in the restaurant and they're so busy that they can't even take me, good.
So that's when we met.
Yes.
And I did ask you to invest in Serious Eats. And like many other people, I think people, this was 2006, you know, it's like people were like, a food blog that's ad-supported, it's like it didn't make any sense, right?
Well, you know what? I have to go by, and this is what, you know, I've invested now in many places, many restaurants. And I would have loved to invest in Serious Eats. I mean it.
Yeah.
Because I love you, and it's the number one food website in the world. So why wouldn't I, right? I have a business manager who protects me from myself because I would invest in, if I'm in 25 restaurants right now, I'd be in 1,000 if not for this gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
It has to make financial sense to him,
right.
And I trust him completely. Maybe it wasn't time yet.
Yes.
You know, you go on Shark Tank and they say, we love this product, we love it, it's not ready yet to be invested in. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
But I don't even pretend to know what it was because I don't.
Right. And nobody did at the time, but it worked out. Now, and this is where I want to get to, I'll have what Phil's having.
Yeah. How did that happen? End of first season of Raymond. I asked Ray Romano, where are you going for your hiatus? We have a 3-month break where the actors can go and do what they have vacation. Where are you going? He goes, oh, I'm going to the Jersey Shore. I'm like, oh, why don't you go to Europe? He goes, meh. I'm like, no? He goes, I said, you never been to Europe? He goes, nah. I said, why not? He goes, I'm not really interested in other cultures. Even his own culture. He won't even go to Italy, right? I ask him, Italy's where your family's from. Eh. What? I think a light bulb goes off. Got to do an episode where we send him over to Italy as Ray Romano and send him back as Roberto Benigni.
That's
after
funny.
He's been transformed by the magic of the food and the beauty of the people and the culture and the life. And how could you not be, right? So I write this script, and it takes 5 years to get the money from CBS to go and do this, okay?
Five years.
But then we go. It's one of our best episodes. We won all kinds of awards for this show. But the best part of it is that I saw that what happened to Ray, the character that I wrote in the script, happened to Ray, the person, in a big way.
Wow.
I had another light bulb go off when that happened, which is, what if I could do this for other people? And for 10 years since we filmed that, I've been trying to do this.
Wow. I didn't even know that till this moment.
Yep. I don't think I told you the full genesis of this. And so, you know, I've been to other places. I filmed a trial episode on our own where, like, American Express funded it for card member events or stuff. They had no intention of making a TV show.
Yeah, there were lots of ups and downs.
And I have the footage from that, which I then cut into a few clips that I could shop around town, right? And so I shop around town. I'll tell you, I don't know if this is cool to talk about. I'm going to talk about it. Who cares? I go to the, because these places have revolving doors on them anyway. So the people I'm going to talk about, they're not even there anymore. And I'm not going to mention any names.
Sure.
But I go to my agency takes me. First idea I have is let's go to PBS and sell it. Because PBS is, by the way, the original Food Network is PBS.
Sure.
Julia Child, Galloping Gourmet,
absolutely,
all those great food shows. They are the pioneers of this.
Right.
Okay. Plus, I'm over 40 somewhat now. That's where 41. I belong. Why don't I go over there and be the kid at PBS, right? Okay.
It's funny.
So they say, no, you got to go to Travel Channel. We're going to Travel Channel first. I go to Travel Channel. The president of the Travel Channel at the time says, we've done some research and we found that our audience doesn't really like travel.
Wait.
I said, oh my, what are you going to do? He says, well, we have travel adjacent shows. What do you mean? Well, we have, you know, like Pimp My RV. Pimp My RV. What is that? They say, it's travel adjacent. You understand? I said, I'm going to take a shot at it. You have an RV, which could be used for travel, but you're not traveling in it. You're just showing us how you pimped it. And he says, on my way out the door, you should also know we've done research. And we found that the only food Americans are interested in is barbecue. Good to know, I said. Thank you very much. I said to my agent, can we go to PBS now? No, we got to go to Food Network. Okay. Did you know that Food Network is owned by the same people that own the Travel Channel? I walk into Food Network, and you're going to think I'm making this up. The president of Food Network says, we're kind of getting away from the food thing.
Shouldn't they deal with the names of these places?
You would think, but nothing means anything anymore.
Right.
The Food Network says to me, I swear to God, we're kind of doing food adjacent. Everything's adjacent. Everybody's next to what they should be doing. And by the way, the only food we found that people are interested in is barbecue.
He said that too.
Also, well, they're owned by the same people. Why shouldn't they say the same thing? Can we go to PBS now? Nope. Going to Nat Geo. Going at every place. Because why? Why? There's more money there for that.
And this is over the course of 5 years?
A couple of years. This was a full-scale attack on, I guess Phil isn't shutting up about his food show. We would rather he made
another sitcom.
But, you know, I feel like I did it. Very nice. It's not like I didn't attempt it again. But I saw the landscape was changing. They're kind of getting away from the sitcom thing.
Right. They're sitcom adjacent.
They're sitcom adjacent now. By the way, that's not fair either. They're doing wonderful shows. They're just different from what I did and what I know and what I feel comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fair to say, even, that Raymond, if you tried to sell it today, wouldn't get on today.
Sure.
For those of you who are fans of that show, it's hard to hear. Listen, it's hard for me to hear. So then we go to PBS, and here's what happens. I finally get there. They say, we saw you're exporting Raymond. We like the idea of you going places. I said, so does my wife. What do you mean? They said, we like the idea of you going. Do you have any other ideas? And I said, I've had this fantasy, and I've wanted to bring it here. And I tell them, how about a show where every episode I go to another great city on Earth, and I show you where to eat? And they say, we've been waiting to do a food and travel show with humor. Where would you like to go? Where would you like to go? We're prepared to give you 6 on the air right away.
And did you faint?
I called my brother. I said, what? What? He goes, what are you going to call the show, The Lucky Bastard? I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I got so lucky. You know, when something's meant to be, it's meant to be.
Right.
And it maybe the show is better because it took me this long to get there.
Sure.
And to really formulate in my head what it should be.
So you go to Italy, you go to Japan in the 2 episodes I saw.
Yes.
Your family is... You're Skyping your parents.
I Skype my parents for one reason. In exporting Raymond, they steal the movie. It was the high point of the movie. Okay? So for strictly commercial reasons, I put them in every episode because I needed...
Did you have to pay them scale?
They don't get anything. Don't tell them.
And they're free talent.
They're free talent, yes. And here's the other reason I put them in. Because after spending 2 minutes with these people, you understand why I need to travel. Right? What's this coming in? What is this?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I know you're hungry. It's, and I know technically we're not supposed to eat for a couple of hours, but there's a great century-old Greek bakery.
Yeah.
Right next to the studio.
What's it called?
Called the Poseidon Bakery.
Oh, I've heard of this, yes.
So they make an awesome spinach pie where they're still hand-rolling the phyllo dough.
Whoa. Is this called spanakopita?
Yeah, this is spanakopita. But
wow.
Look at how delicate the, you know, I know this is audio only, but.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Much better than that.
Fantastic.
Oh, my God. Come on.
We'll do an episode together in Athens.
Listen, one of the points of the whole series is that you can travel in your own town.
Right.
You can try a cuisine or a neighborhood restaurant that you never went into that neighborhood because you're afraid of it or you don't know anything about it or you don't know anything about Greek food. What do I know?
Right. And you promised me when you do New York that we're going to do it together.
Absolutely, yes.
And I'm going to replace your parents, or not replace them,
yeah,
as more unpaid talent.
Cool. But you get paid in food, which
that's
is
true.
Just as good.
That's true.
We'll work for food.
We'll work for food.
Yes. For me, it's food is the way to connect with the people.
Right.
And the other way is a sense of humor. Maybe our most underrated human trait.
All right. It's time for what I call the 2-minute interview buffet.
Oh, great.
You know, it's all you can say in 2 minutes.
Oh.
Are
you really clocking me?
About the following questions.
Okay.
I don't know if we're clocking you, but...
Wait a minute. Before you do, what's in this thing?
I don't even know. It's probably a piece of baklava.
Oh, dessert even. Oh,
yeah.
I have a bite of this. Oh, this looks like a honey-soaked beauty. Look
yeah.
at this.
All right.
Wow.
What's in your desert island fridge?
Vivoli gelato.
Okay.
Fried chicken.
Okay.
Hot dog from maybe Nathan's Hot Dogs. A burger from Republique. Oh my God, there's so many things. How
I know.
You pick it?
You can have two more. You can have two more, man. We're not going to get through with this.
You're right. How about a steak from Peter Luger's? Why don't you have that in your fridge?
All right. That's good. All right. That's great. Who's going to be your desert island dinner?
Oh, I think you got to be there.
Thank you.
Because no one will appreciate it more.
That's true.
Right? Bruce Springsteen, Woody Allen. Who else? I guess
you have two more.
Oh, I can't. So family and friends. You
yeah.
can't say.
Yeah.
You can't say all your family and all your friends as
yeah,
your
you
two
could,
more.
You can say your wife and son and daughter,
yes,
but that's a given.
That's a given. They're already
yeah.
there.
Yeah, they're already there.
Okay, so two more people. Who do
I know? How you
oh,
feel
Stephen
about
Colbert.
That.
I'm a huge. Oh my God, he's the genius of the medium.
One chef you would helicopter in for a meal on your desert
Nancy
island.
Silverton. How about that? Did I hesitate too long?
No, you did not.
She's my favorite chef.
Worst trend in food at the moment.
When your waiter comes over and says, here are the sauces you have, here are the preparations, different preparations, and you have choice of protein, don't say that. That takes all the romance out of the whole evening.
That's not why you go
don't
to a restaurant.
Don't say choice of protein. That's a very chef term. That has no business being heard by the public. I don't want to know that this is a protein.
And what's your favorite food trend at the moment?
Octopus.
Octopus.
I love grilled octopus.
We had grilled octopus at
right.
Via Carota.
How great is that place? You turn me on to that place.
Awesome.
I love that place.
So,
tell me yours. I'm interested. What's the, because I'll bet I'll agree with you. What's the best and worst for you?
It's so hard to say. I'm thrilled that fried chicken sandwiches are having their moment.
Just had Fuku Plus last night. I was just there last night.
It's a beautiful thing. What in your travels have you discovered that we're going to be reading about in the future?
I'm going to say, and it's already catching on, but what Albert Adria is doing in Barcelona, which is creating these casual restaurant versions of El Bulli in different forms. So what do I mean? Tickets is the like world's greatest tapas bar. But it's a tapas bar set in an almost Cirque du Soleil setting, and you're eating the most delicious food you ever had without any pretension whatsoever. In fact, it's fun. We want to be comfortable. We want to eat delicious food in a casual setting.
The food should be about you and not about the chef.
About you and your friends enjoying and sharing, which is all the reason we love to eat.
Well, that's a perfect segue because we have come to the end.
So, what?
Yes.
Wow. That was fast.
We've run out of special sauce recipes. Mm. And we're thrilled that you came on board. And as someone who's been my friend for a long time and who has shared so many great meals with me, I truly appreciate it. And everyone should watch I'll Have What Phil's Having.
Listen, as my friend Norman Lear, how's that for a name drop? As he says, to be continued.
Absolutely.